that somebody today would receive a believing application of the blood of Jesus Christ upon their soul. I assure you that when he sees the blood, he'll pass over you. When that death angel comes, as it did in Egypt, when they sprinkled the lintel and the doorposts with the blood of the Lamb, when that death angel came, he said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." Jesus is our Passover Lamb. And let's pray. Let's pray that some will see that today and find peace and everlasting life through Jesus Christ.
The Lord this morning.
People here at Victory Church seldom get in a hurry. We believe that this is the Lord's day and not just the Lord's hour. It's the Lord's day. If you have your Bibles, turn to the Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We'll begin reading in verse 1. I love Romans chapter 5 because in it, it describes and tells us about the saving work of Jesus Christ. Nothing thrills me anymore than studying the work of redemption. Enthusiastically, I approach the subject of Jesus saving us from our sins. Actually, it should demand our attention. It should call sinners to be attentively adhering to what's said in the gospel that they might have faith, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. As we listen to the words of God, as we listen to the Holy Spirit in the course of this service, I hope and pray that if you have not been saved, that this would be the day of salvation for you. You know, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to pay the sin debt for us. He came to give himself, his life, a ransom for sin. He came to pay for the sins that you have committed that keep you separated from God. His death on the cross is a substitutionary death. It's an atoning death. His substitutionary atonement that was paid at Calvary as he died there on the cross was done specifically and particularly for you and for your sins. I believe it must be that personal. You must climb the crest of Calvary for yourself and see and look on him whom you pierced. He died because of your sins. He died in your place. The Bible says that he tasted death for everyone. He died for you. In these passages of Scripture, it begins to tell us some of the things concerning the saving work of Jesus Christ. How that we're justified. Now, there's a lot of things that could be said as I read these passages of Scripture. A lot of different ways that I can go concerning the saving work of Jesus. I could talk particularly concerning repentance or concerning faith. Actually, repentance and faith are inseparable graces. When a person repents, they believe. When a person believes to the saving of their soul, they repent. You can't separate them in point and time. And actually, there's a third element concerning salvation. The moment you genuinely and truly repent of your sins, you will experience regeneration. Amen. Regeneration is God's Holy Spirit coming in direct contact with your spirit. Now, when that happens, you're born again. Jesus said you must, in John chapter 3, you must be born again. And that occurs at the point that you turn from sin, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, at that same moment, actually there's a inseparable element to repentance and faith, and that is regeneration. You must experience the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, when that happens, you know it. I mean, here in these passages in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now, I believe that's a subjective peace. It's a spiritual peace. It's an eternal peace. It's not like the peace that the world gives. It's the peace that comes from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a peace that reveals to you that you've just had your sins canceled. It's a peace that lets you know that the blood of Jesus has been applied to your heart. It's a peace that assures you that you're now reconciled to God. See, Jesus Christ died on the cross to reconcile us to God. There's no way to get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. He is the only mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. I believe this is a subjective peace. I believe it's a spiritual peace. I don't believe like a lot of what the world teaches concerning religious leaders. Many of them teach that it's simply a objective peace, that you don't experience it, you don't know it. My friend, when you get saved, you'll know it. When you pass from death into life, you'll know that you've just passed from a state of death to a state of life. Justified. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be justified in the sight of God, to have the guilt removed, to have the condemnation removed. You know, God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world. My friend, the world was condemned already. Amen. Jesus came to remove that condemnation, the thing that keeps you distant, the thing that keeps you separated, the thing that keeps you an enemy, the very thing that keeps you alienated from God is removed through the atoning death of Jesus Christ. When that happens, when you enter into a relationship with the Father through the death of the Son, you have a heavenly spiritual relationship that you enter into. You're no longer a child of the devil. You're a child of God. Amen. Justified. What a wonderful thing to have the guilt removed of the sins that you have personally committed. My friend, there's nothing any better, nothing any greater than to have your sins canceled, to have them removed as far as the east is from the west. Amen. As David said when he called on the Lord to erase those sins from the book of his remembrance and remember them no more. Isn't it wonderful for God to treat us as though we have never sinned? Being therefore justified by faith. The saving work of Jesus Christ is an amazing thing. I hope if you're here this morning that you'll pay attention. I hope this morning that you would give attention to the saving work of Jesus Christ. If you've never been saved, I encourage you to search the scriptures. The Bible tells us about the work of redemption. Amen. From the beginning there in the garden to the very end, the work of redemption is being explained to us. Now, I was studying last night, and I called Brother Mike Calhoun. He's a good friend of mine out in Oregon, and we were discussing various things, and I was telling him about, you know, studying. I thought, well, this would be such a simple subject, and I was looking into the saving work of Jesus Christ, and before long, it overwhelmed me. And he said, preacher, you're supposed to make difficult subjects simple, not make simple subjects difficult. But I'm telling you, this is a deep subject. I still have not fully attained nor understood the greatness, the awesomeness, the magnitude of Jesus Christ saving me from sin. Amen. He says, by whom? By Jesus also we have access by faith into this grace. Listen, salvation is by grace through faith. It is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, Ephesians chapter 2, amen? It's not of works, lest any man should boast, but we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works. Listen, if you've not had a work of grace performed in your heart and in your life, if when you come before God, you offer God something, you didn't get a work of grace. If you come, you say, well, I did this or did that, you don't have a work of grace. Grace is given to the unworthy, amen? The undeserved, it's an undeserved, unmerited favor of God. We have access, but listen, part of this work that I'm talking about, Jesus dying on our cross, in order to have it applied to you, in order for you to receive it, in order for you to obtain it, you must have faith. Faith. You must have the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There must be a point and time in your life where you put all of your trust and all of your confidence and all of your faith in the work of Jesus Christ in order to be saved from your sins.
Now listen, there's a lot of different sorrows in the world. Paul told us in the book of Corinthians 7 chapter that there are worldly sorrows, and worldly sorrows work death. I believe when a person gets saved, they're coming to have sin canceled. Not work out some worldly situation in their life. You must be burdened and condemned over sin. That's why I believe in the help and the aid and the work of the Holy Spirit in convicting sinners of their sins. The gospel is preached, and we realize that we have transgressed the law of God. We realize that we're sinners. We realize that we're condemned. We realize that we're guilty before God. And the only way that we can stand in the presence of a holy God is to have our sin debt canceled. My friend, the only way to have it covered is through Jesus Christ. David said, blessed is a man who has his sins covered. What a wonderful thing to have your sins covered, your sins canceled. And I contend that at the very point when that spiritual, overwhelming, great, wonderful thing happens in your life, it is a birthday, it's a spiritual birthday. You're born once, you die twice. But if you're born twice, you only die once. That spiritual birth, you remember, you know about, there's a time where it occurs in your life. And here he talks about how that this grace introduces us to access to more grace. I believe there's an abundance of grace for us to experience and to have. We can keep going back to God, amen? We can keep going back to God for more grace. For we learn in salvation how to have access to the grace of God. We learn how to pray. That first prayer where we find salvation, where we find forgiveness, it teaches us how to pray there on out through our Christian life. You must come in faith, amen? You must come through the cross. You must come through Jesus. Jesus is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. There's no other way but Jesus Christ. You cannot get to God but by Him. He said, no man can come to the Father except by me. Let's notice, I'm going to try to read these passages. Access to grace. Boy, isn't it wonderful. As he begins to talk about, you know, tribulation and problems and trials that we go through, we still rejoice because grace is there. Jesus is there to help us, to sustain us. Have you ever experienced that in your life? In your Christian walk? Have you not experienced the Lord carrying you, sustaining you, undergirding you with His grace? You know, God doesn't have to change your circumstance. He just has to come down and change your heart. Many times He doesn't have to control the circumstance. All He has to do is bring calmness and control to your soul. Have you ever experienced that? In the midst of a storm, in the midst of trouble and trials, you sense the presence and the power of God. And we look beyond those things that are seen, and we look at the things that are not seen. Amen. By faith we see into the eternal, the spiritual, the heavenly, and we know that great things are up ahead. Aren't there great things up ahead? Don't you know this morning that this earthly tabernacle, it is going to be dissolved, but we have a heavenly tabernacle not made with hands, reserved for us, praise God. How we're going to heaven. We're going to have new bodies. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We know that though this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we know we have a heavenly body and it's going to be like that of Jesus Christ. Do you believe you're going to have a new body? You know, we're dying. Hello? You're dying. You're dying. This earthly, this physical, it's dying. But though this earthly body is dying, I am renewed in my heart, knowing that my soul, it is going to live with God, that I'm going to be given a new body, a body not like this one, a more spiritual body, one that will not die. There's going to be a resurrection of the dead. Amen. He's going to come back and He's going to raise the dead. Grace. And there's grace to get us all the way through, even to the last moments of our life. Let's notice here. Not only so, we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. and hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Notice here, and when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. Have you ever thought about how powerful the blood of Jesus is? Have you ever thought about what the blood of Jesus has done for you? How it justified you, it saved you, it brought you into a relationship with God? Have you ever thought about what the blood actually did for you? Did a lot for us, didn't it? I mean, says, you know, he talks about being justified by his blood. You know, one of the greatest events of my life, I guess the greatest event of my preaching life, you know, outside of being saved and various things that have happened, I'm talking about the places that I preached and things that I've done in the ministry. I guess the highlight of that was my privilege of preaching in the empty tomb. I'm telling you, people, he's not there. I went to the cross, you know, Golgotha, the place that they say Jesus was crucified, and it was a spiritual thing for me. It was a wonderful thing to be able to go to the cross, but greater than that is the thought and the thing that's said in the scripture. He says, if the blood of Jesus justified us, how much more does his life do for us? How much more do we acquire, do we benefit from him being resurrected from the dead? You know what it says in these passages? He said, look here in verse 9, much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. He says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He lives, amen. Jesus is alive. I know him. I know him personally. He is my friend. He's with me. I talk with him. He's alive. He delivers me when I need help. I call upon his name. I mean, at the name of Jesus, many enemies that I've had have disbanded. At the name of Jesus, the devils have fleen. At the name of Jesus, I've seen great things happen in the work of God and in my life personally. I'm telling you, Jesus is alive. I've talked with him. I've communed with him. I've supped with him. He's real. Jesus is real. He is alive from the dead. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He intercedes for us. He atones for us. He helps us. He watches over his church. He is our King of kings and our Lord of lords. He governs the affairs that take place here at Victory Church. Let me say this to you. If you've been saved by the grace of God, the King of kings, that saved you, that atoned for you, that forgave you, that died for you, he summons you to come out from among the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. Unite with the Lord's church. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. Look, the King of kings commands you this morning. He summons you. He calls upon you to come out. See, his people, those that get saved, should unite with one of the Lord's churches. Should follow the Lord in baptism. Amen. Put their light on the candlestick. You can't shine unless you shine through Jesus and his church. Where none of us are supposed to be secret agent men. None of us are to be independent of the church. Amen. Paul said in Ephesians that there's to be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. The glory is to be through his church, not in and of yourself. Amen. If you live for Jesus, you need to be linked up, connected with a local church. And I'll just say this. I didn't intend to go this far with this morning, but you and your family need to be in a spirit-filled church. Amen. I'm going to say this again. I'm going to go a little further with this. I don't believe this is something you can choose to do. Amen? You know, I deal with disgruntled members quite a bit. well, not a lot here at Victory, but I have dealt with some. You know, and I've called people and I said, what are you doing? Well, I'm visiting around. I said, well, you know, that's good. If the Lord is leading you to do that, you need to do that. See, this thing's not hard for me. I believe in the leadership of the Lord. See, He atoned for us. He died for us. He is our prophet. He is our priest. He is our king. He is the one that guides us, leads us, and controls us. And I talked to them and said, well, you know, that's good. Well, we're not sure we're being led to the Lord. We're just, we're looking for something different for our kids. Oh, come on now. Or you know this or that. Listen, you better not leave the Lord's church till the Holy Ghost tells you to leave. Amen. You better not join the Lord's church till the Holy Ghost tells you to join. Amen? I believe that only the Holy Ghost can temper a member into the body of Christ. Amen. You can't do it yourself. You can try all you want to. You won't be able to be grafted into the church or the body. You won't be able to be grafted into the body here at Victory. If you want to be a member, it's not about you wanting to be a member. It's about the Lord leading you to be a member. Amen? Amen. We have that from time to time, people wanting to be members and they join and they're really not led and they just never do get in. You know, they never do get grafted in. And sometimes it will frustrate the body. We don't beg for members here. We're not trying to build the church because Jesus said, I will build my church. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I still believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, is seated at the right hand of the Father and He's still building His church. Amen. So I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do, preach the word. And let the Lord build the church. I believe the Lord still controls those matters. Yes, His life, it continues to save us, preserve us, help us, aid us. And I want to get down to a few other passages of Scripture here. Let me get down to verse 11. Let's jump down here. He talks about us being saved by His life. He talks about us being reconciled to God through the death of His Son. He talks about Him living and the benefits and the privileges that we enjoy. I'm talking about the saving work of Jesus. Yes, He saves us from our sin at one point in time, but He keeps delivering us. He keeps us safe. If you're ever kept safe from the wrath of God, it's through Jesus Christ. Brother Honeycutt made a good point this morning in Sunday school. It's not our righteousness, it's the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, when we talk about atonement, we talk about being covered, we talk about Him reconciling us, Him justifying us, Him redeeming us. Jesus Christ did all that on the cross of Calvary, but He continues to live to save us, to sustain us, to bring us into glory. Amen? Jesus is coming back. He's coming back in power and great glory with the holy angels of heaven. And He's going to gather the elect from the four corners of the world. And He's going to step out of heaven and He's going to say, come forth, my children. And every saved person, no matter where they've been buried, they will come forth in their glorified bodies. And we will ascend to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. When we're in heaven, we've been there a million years. We'll still contend that it is His life that saves us. Even when we're in our glorified bodies, He will be the source that sustains us throughout the eons of eternity. Notice here, as I read verse 11, my text, and I'm going to close here in just a minute. He says, not only so, but we also joy in God. Isn't God good? You know, that He sought to reconcile us, that He sought out a way to redeem us, He sought out means to save us. He prepared a plan before the foundation of the world to save those that believe in His Son, Jesus. Aren't you glad we deal with God and not with man? Amen. You know, There are situations that develop in our lives sometimes where you say, well, okay, I'll do whatever it takes. We want to reconcile the situation, and so we say, well, you know, I'll do whatever it takes. We'll do whatever kind of expiation needs to be done. We'll make sure that you know what. Just tell me what to do. And there are times in our lives where people say, "There's nothing you can do to rectify the situation." Have you ever had that happen? Man, that's sad. That's not of God. It's not of Christ. Aren't you glad God's not that way? He sought out a way to reconcile us to Himself. And He did it through the death of His Son. Notice in these passages, He says in verse 11, "Not only so, but we also joy in God." I'm glad that God controls the situation. If you were seeking forgiveness of men, men might reject you. Men might put stipulations on you finding God and it be too difficult for you. They may require you to pay something and you not have the price to pay. But I'm telling you this morning that God sought out a way to save every man, though he be poor or rich, though he be black or white. God's way is a way for everyone. If you ever get saved, you must come through Jesus. And every person who's lost and undone can be saved. It's a whosoever will. Amen. We joy in God. I'm glad God is the one in control of our salvation. Not man. Not an institution. Institutions cannot save you. Churches cannot save you. You can be baptized 100 times and still be lost. Some of you have been baptized 4 or 5 times and you were still lost before you came here. I've heard you testify to that fact. You can join churches. Churches will not and cannot save you. Men cannot save you. A preacher cannot save you. We only have one high priest, and it's Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can save you from your sins. You must personally, you must of your own soul go to Jesus in order to have it atoned for. You must come to the cross. He says, "Oh, we joy in God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." We are reconciled through Jesus Christ. You know, there's such a thing as expiation. And there's another thing, another word that's been erased from some of the translations. It's not found in the NIV, but I like the word. It's the word propitiation. Amen. You know, expiation, I drive an 087 Beamer that I got for like $700 at an auction, and I drive it all to the hospitals and all over town, and it's not running too good right now. But, you know, if I was, and I almost got hit the other day, and if this lady would have hit me, and she had jumped out and said, "Look, I want to fix this situation. I want to rectify this. I want expiation to take place in hitting your car, in messing up your bumper." And she says, "I will pay for you to have a new bumper." Well, that's expiation. You know, a bumper, a messed up bumper, an old car for a new bumper. Yeah, that's satisfying the situation, satisfying that infraction, that trouble, that difficulty, that problem that in the situation, solving it, providing a solution. But you know, propitiation is beyond that. Propitiation would be like if she hit me and scratched my bumper, and she said, Look, I want to make this thing right. I want to make sure that it's made right. I want to take you down here, and I want to give you a brand new Beamer for your old $700 clunker." That's expiation. I'm telling you, there was a sacrifice offered to God on our behalf to cover the sins of all mankind. You know, Paul put it this way. He said, "Where sin abounds, grace did much more abound." I've described it many times like this. If you could take all the sins of mankind and put it in a pile, if you could take adultery, fornication, if you could take lying and stealing, if you could take all the hideous sins that man has ever committed from the time of Adam till now, all of the hideous stuff, even homosexuality, and you pile it all up in a pile, and you see sin in this great big heap, and it abounding, I'm telling you this morning that through the atoning death of Jesus Christ, grace does much. more abound, it'll cover all those sins and more. It is Jesus Christ is his atoning death is a propitiation for our sins. I'm telling you, it'll satisfy. It's the only thing that satisfies God in our behalf. Listen, my friend, if you've never been saved, if you've never experienced regeneration, if you've never had propitiation, didn't you feel that when you got saved? When you came as a lost, condemned sinner and you sought the Lord and you asked the Lord how to forgive you when you came and pleaded for mercy because you were a sinner and lost and needed a Savior when you came to the cross and you saw that He was hanging there in your place. He was taking your place. He was your substitute, your atonement. He was dying for you when you looked at the cross and you said, I believe that this is the only thing that would appease the sins that I've committed in my life. This is the only thing that will satisfy God on my behalf because of my transgressions. When you come pleading with God for forgiveness, and the moment that blood rushes through your soul to cover it, and you stand clean before God, I'm telling you, it's a wonderful experience. You must experience it. You must know it. You must have it in your heart, or you are not saved. I want us to stand and sing a verse of some song. There may be somebody this morning that has not been under the crimson flow. You have not been redeemed. You have not been justified in the sight of God. That peace that we talk about, and yes, I believe it's a subjective peace, but it's a spiritual peace. It's not emotion. It's not the head. It's the heart that's changed. He said, I would make a new covenant with you. I will write my laws in your hearts. I'm telling you, you won't have to ask people who are saved, do you know the Lord? For all will know Him, from the greatest to the least. Let's stand and sing a verse, some song. Do you know the Lord today? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Let us sing. Will you